podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az, and I am joined every week by Jani, where we take a look at his team and his decisions going forward. Once again, Jani is on a green arrow. So if you're here for pain, we're not getting too much pain, Jani. Come on, you need to do some mad things to restore the balance. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, mate. I'm buzzing for the Champions League this week, and I'm fairly happy with my rank. Like, yeah, it's been slow and steady, which isn't what I'm used to. I'm either sort of hero or zero usually in years gone by. So I'll take the 74 this week. I did have a 4-point hit. It's a slight green arrow. I can't remember what I was on last week, but it feels like a grey arrow. I kind of wanted to be in the top 100K and was around 60, 70K. And then the Everton game kind of stung me a little bit because of, I guess, mainly grey owners.
But also no, subs as well coming in.
Oh, it was all the Livramento first sub.
Livramentos, yeah.
Who, of course, I had first sub. And, you know, of course, I would have been, you know, I'm happy with that decision. But, yeah, I've had a few 6-point first subs. I had Ayling in week one, 6-point first sub, and he scored the goal. But, you know, you take that, that happens.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing, is it? I always think, you know, subs, having 6-point subs can be a bit frustrating, but you'd be more worried if Livermental's getting 1 point every week. At least he's an option and we can maybe think about playing him, like, when the fixtures ease a bit. I think he's great. I just love watching him play. All right, we're going to talk about all that in a sec. Just before we get into that, I just want to mention Fantasy 5, who Fantasy Scout are partnered with. So every week you can pick 5 players and you have fantasy points targets that they've each got. And if they hit it and you get all 5 right, you win £10,000. Great game to play alongside FPL. I play every week and one day I'm going to win it. One day, I swear. I feel like every week I'm close, but never quite there. The good thing is they've added this year the ability to sort of accumulate points as well. So there's mini leagues and prizes you can win for getting points. So you haven't got to hit the jackpot to win shirts and Champions League final tickets, loads of stuff. So if you're not involved in that, look at the links in the description below. And at the end of the video, I'll be talking about my selection for the coming game week as well. So yeah, great game to play. Right, Jani, let's talk about last game week. It is fresh. We're recording this on Tuesday. Normally we do these on a Wednesday live, but you are busy tomorrow. So people listening to this, Jani will be in London sweating in meetings, I believe, unlike today where we're both very fresh-faced. But it means we won't have the Champions League information. So if Ronaldo went off injured after 10 minutes, then we're going to look very stupid. This was your team last week. You had Sanchez in goal with 6, Shaw with 5, Trent with 12, and Ben White with 5. So a clean sweep of defensive returns.
Yeah.
Salah with 8, Greenwood with 5, Torres with 3, Rafinha with 2, and Traore with 3. And then Antonio, we're going to talk about here, -1. And the big man Ronaldo captain with 26. So as you mentioned, 74 points. Were you happy with that?
Yeah, I was fairly happy. Yeah, I was. I mean, the only decision, the guys I brought in, obviously Ronaldo did well, but we all knew he would. Torres and Traore I brought in. I've made three transfers last week because I had 2 frees and 1 hit. Torres and Traore didn't get points and both at times looked close to getting them. I think Torres missed a big chance. Traore was involved as he usually is. Didn't miss any sitters this week though, which was quite nice.
Didn't get any, his chances of drawing up a little bit.
Yeah, it was weird because Wolves were actually fairly dominant and got the chances too. It was interesting when Podence came on, he looked really sharp and I just thought, I don't think Traore's place is at risk. He's so integral to how Bruno wants to play. But the subs are coming on for Wolves and doing well. We saw the Korean number 9, the Bull, come on. Mm. We saw Podence look good. So, yeah, there's definitely competition for places in that attacking lineup. Traore's still nailed for me, but he's got to start producing soon. And Traore was bought for long term, so I'm fine. The fixtures are great moving forward. Torres, I did want a return versus Leicester or Southampton in the next 2 because I don't think he's a long-term hold knowing he had Chelsea and Liverpool up. I bought him for the immediate. Although, if he continues starting as the number 9 in Champions League and in the Premier League, I might look at it and go, he's just one that you set and forget almost because when he plays, regardless who he's playing, if he's Man City's 9, 7 million midfielder, you want him in your team. I just really am intrigued to see what Pep does with the Champions League fixtures. I'm hoping he goes KDB false nine. And although KDB didn't feature at the weekend, he was on the bench, didn't come off it. So I don't know if he's ready to start. But it's going to be intriguing to see how we deal with Pep Roulette and stuff. But elsewhere, look, I'm happy with my points. Good spread. The only one I was tempted to buy that I didn't was Gray. I was looking at Traore and Gray and Sarr. They were my three options and I went Traore. So that was a bit disappointing to see his returns last night. But no, I'm happy. Greenwood's still producing. Say this every week, don't we? Ben White got some returns from who most people have sold, which I'm happy I kept with him. And Luke Shaw can't get a clean sheet for love nor money, but he does get the assist. So, I'm, you know, 5 points is okay there. And Trent, this was the weekend where many thought, how can I get Bruno and Lukaku? How can I get them both into my team? After seeing them all do well on Saturday, everyone was thinking, maybe it's not one or the other. Maybe I can get both. And maybe I can compromise Trent.
Yep.
Well, on Sunday, we all watched Trent and went, that is why we don't sell Trent. Easiest 12 points. That's what he does.
Yep, absolutely. So your moves were, correct me if I'm wrong, Fernandez, Barnes and Tony, was it?
Ings.
And Ings, sorry, for Ronaldo, Torres and Traore. Yeah. So only Ronaldo got any points out of those, but out of all the ones you sold, none of them did any, well, Fernandez did, but
Fernandez
Ronaldo outscored
goal.
Him.
And yeah, Barnes hit the bar and was looking quite good. Vardy and Barnes, I guess it was a fixture that suited them, just complete counter-attack for City. But yeah, so I was happy with the blanks.
Yeah, yeah. So you're up on the moves then, even with the minus four. And yeah, you sorted out some problems. So, I mean, Torres is an interesting one. I mean, you know, subbed at 60 minutes. This is the worry with him. When things aren't going too well, I think he's probably going to be one of the first sacrificed to shake things up. You know, he could move Jesus on up front, bring Mahrez on. He could bring another false nine on. He can do lots of different things. So I think we talked about this last week. If you've got Torres, you kind of need him to just continue to deliver.
Yeah.
And I guess what you're hoping for, you're hoping he misses out in the Champions League and then starts at the weekend.
It's a weird one because he was subbed at 60, but he was subbed at 60 when they were 1-0 up. And I think he's going to start in the Champions League. I do. I think he was subbed, not because he wasn't playing well. I think he was subbed because Pep goes, I want him as my nine for the champs. And if he plays 90 in the Champions League, I'll be worried for the Southampton game. But again, maybe he gets 60 in the Champions League and I go, he's actually potentially a captainable asset against Southampton at home. I'm not going to give him I don't think I will give him the armband at the fear he doesn't start. But it's a nice fixture on paper, a really nice differential captain, although there are a couple of more obvious ones. I know we'll talk about captaincy later. So yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Pep does.
Yep. Let's have a look at your team going into game week 5.
Yeah. It looks ugly because it's got 5 in midfield. It's very unlikely to be this formation. Please do note the bench. I've got Antonio on the bench who I could very easily sell. Although I'm quite fortunate without the Antonio minus one and kind of missing a game, that I do have an okay squad without him, because someone like Luke Eyling would have been on my bench. He comes in and that's quite a nice fixture.
Yeah, well, let's talk for your team for podcast listeners as well. So Sanchez in goal with Leicester at home. And then you've got Trent, Shaw, White and Eyling. So 4 at the back. And then 5 in midfield with Salah, captain currently, Greenwood, Torres, vice-captain, interesting, Rafinha and Traore, and then Ronaldo up front. So your two strikers, one of them suspended and one of them's in a different league. And then you've got Livramento there as your kind of only sub. So I think there's quite a lot to talk about with this team. Okay, you mentioned Eyling, so let's start with Eyling and Rafinha. Leeds have been very disappointing, haven't they? They've got an incredible run of fixtures coming up. What do you make of them this season? Like, do you think they're going to turn a corner?
I think it's very similar to what we saw last season. I know we've seen them lose a couple of games, but don't forget we've seen them lose games to big teams, and that's kind of what they do mostly. They go toe-to-toe with you, and they will have a go against anyone, which means when they play teams like Liverpool, with their man-to-man system, it's just fun. It's just fun to play against them. I think Gary Neville said it in commentary for Sky. They're one of the most fun teams to play against if you're a striker. Mane, Salah, Jota had a field day. But will Joel Linton and St. Max or will City players have a field day? Probably not. So it's opponent specific to their success. I think they'll blow Newcastle away and score a few goals. But we do never really like banking on Leeds for clean sheets, which does make Eyling a bit of a mare pick. I'm thinking if I do replace Antonio, then it will be Eiling who's on my bench. You know, I'd much rather play Ben White than Eiling because Leeds just look leaky. So long term, do I want a 4.5 Eiling there? Probably not. Why did I go with him at the start of the season? Well, I fancied attacking returns. I fancied the fullbacks bombing on. We haven't really seen that other than his goal at Old Trafford in game week one. He moved to centre-back. He played against Liverpool the second half. He was centre-back. And obviously when they play a back three, when they're playing against two forwards, like when they played Burnley, that's a back three in Luke Eiling's right centre-back.
But now they've got issues at centre-back, right? Strikes, yeah. Now suspended, Cooper's...
All over the place.
And Llorente's injured, is he?
Llorente's injured again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could see him slot in. So yeah. I'm not looking to waste transfers on 4.5 million defenders, but if I do ever have that luxury of that free transfer, he might be one that goes. For the time being, he'll just continue his first sub, I guess. But I do expect Leeds to score goals. And against Newcastle, I think Rafinha's going to be involved.
It's interesting with Leeds, because I think last year they were very much described as brave, you know, going toe-to-toe with teams, all this, you know, there's lots of hype around Bielsa and stuff. This year, I'm starting to see more people calling them naive rather than brave, you know?
Yeah, like, where's the plan B? There is none.
Exactly. And it was interesting because at the end of last season, you know, we saw Leeds start to pick up some clean sheets. They beat City, for example.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Seb pre-season, and I said to him, you know, you've got to be confident about Leeds' prospects at the back, you know, next year. And Seb was like, if you actually look at the underlying stats, we were conceding more chances, more big chances. Our XG conceded was higher. And so I said to him, why did you keep clean sheets? He was like, luck, it won't continue. Yeah. And you've got to say...
Melier made a lot of saves, didn't he? Exactly. Was he second to Martinez in the saves?
Absolutely.
He was high.
Yeah, so it is interesting to see what happens on this run. They've had a very, very tough start to life in their second season. So yeah. I'm not ruling them out, but yeah, it's... something needs to change because they need to start picking up points basically. If they come out of this run, you know, having only won a couple of matches, they might be in for a bit of a surprise relegation battle. Let's talk about some of your other players. So obviously we've kind of touched on Torres a little bit. You've got the vice captaincy on him at the moment. Is that, do you think, what would it take for you to think, you know, maybe Torres is a viable captain this week?
Yeah, so Torres plays in the Champions League. I can't remember if it's Tuesday night or Wednesday night. We're recording this Tuesday lunchtime. Let's say he plays really well. He plays Wednesday. So let's say he plays really well, he's involved in a goal or two, and is subbed off early, but he's played really well. That's, I'm subbing him off to rest him. I think I could give him the armband. I really do. Salah is the obvious pick, and I have been safe with my captaincy this season, and it will no doubt go to Salah, who, again, he'll probably do really well against AC Milan, and I'll go, the momentum's with him. And even if he doesn't do well against AC Milan, the momentum's still with him. He's been playing brilliantly. Crystal Palace, whilst they've looked good against Spurs, there was no threat from Spurs. I have not seen a Spurs performance that bad for a very long time, since probably, I don't know, Juan de Ramos.
Do you see the heat maps of the front three?
No, was it shocking?
They were, I think they were all in their own half.
Oh, Harry Kane at half time had the fewest touches of any player.
Yeah, it was his first ever Spurs appearance with no shots and no touches in the box.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I watched the game and it was horrific. So yeah, I mean,
horrific is, I think, very apt to describe that performance against Palace as well. I mean, I know Palace have improved and been a bit better, but I wasn't expecting that level of performance from Spurs.
And maybe the Palace style under Vieira, we are seeing them a little bit more expressive, a bit more attacking. It's suiting the likes of Zaha. Like, it looks really good. But then you look at it and go, oh, okay, Crystal Palace under Roy Hodgson going to Anfield could keep it tight, see how they get on. Although I think they did have a bad record under Roy going to Anfield. But Vieira, you think, okay, he might have a go, and that might really suit Salah. So you'd be
Palace.
You'd be a very brave man. It didn't last season. He came on as a sub still got a hat trick.
Yes, right. Yep.
So let's put Toby had him as captain, and I didn't. And I remember being like, giving him all the banter on WhatsApp, being like, ha, your captain's going to come on for a 5-minute cameo at the end, as if you captain Salah, I told you not to. And he went and got a hat trick second half.
It's all your fault. Yeah.
So I probably will be captain Salah, but I just love the idea of chucking in a differential winner. And if it wasn't Salah, out of all the other names I've got, even Ronaldo and Greenwood, I genuinely think it could have been Torres, but no doubt I'll go safe.
Interesting, because I'm actually leaning towards Ronaldo this week. Because obviously we need to talk about him. I'm going to be talking about him with everyone I'm doing the videos with this week and on Black Box. And it was just a... we all kind of thought it would happen.
Yeah,
you know, and then it happened, and it was like, yeah, that was predictable. Obviously, Lukaku then went and matched him with two goals, so pretty much anyone was happy that had either of those two players and handed them the armband. But what did you make of Ronaldo's performance? Because, you know, it was he got two goals. He looked good. I think he had the highest XG, the highest shots per 90 of all players. Over the weekend, and I think of anyone so far this season. So he's already right up there in terms of his shots. But his two goals were two goalkeeping howlers, really, especially the first one from the Greenwood shot. What did you make of it?
I mean, he did what we hoped he would. He performed, and it was predictable. And I watched your section on Ronaldo on Black Box with Mark and spoke to Mark before you even recorded it about kind of his returns in Italy. And it was very easy to look at his numbers and go, yeah, he's a bit of a flat track bully. He'll turn up when we need him to turn up, perhaps not always perform in the games against tougher opposition. So when we want to captain Ronaldo against Newcastle at home, yeah, he was always going to turn up, wasn't he? It was two goalkeeping errors, but there's an argument to say that could have been Martial in that number nine role and he wouldn't have scored either from those goalkeeping errors. So you look at it and go, yeah, you produce your own luck and he is deadly. I still don't think it's the best fixture away at West Ham for United. I think West Ham could have a real go. They've not been great defensively, but let's see how United get on in Europe. They play obviously Tuesday night against Young Boys. It's the away flight followed by another trip to London. So two away trips on the bounce. I often look at that and think, oh, if I can go with someone at home. So Salah has home on Wednesday night or Tuesday. I can't remember when he plays Milan. And then home again against Crystal Palace, less travel time. He definitely edges it for me. But look, Ronaldo just looks like a great buy, doesn't he? If you don't have him, I think many will be trying to get him in because after West Ham, it's a really nice Villa at home. It's a great fixture. Mm. Everton at home is a nice fixture too. And then obviously we're all looking at, do we have to switch Ronaldo to Lukaku? Or some of us are looking at maybe we can try and get both in. But then do you lose balance? Probably.
Yeah, well, that's my question to you. That's what's following. I mean, obviously, really impressive performances from both Ronaldo and Lukaku. Yeah. Salah as well. I mean, Salah's got Palace and Brentford in the next two. We can't captain all three of these guys. It's more than likely, I think a lot of people are going to go with Salah. So do we need to have all three? If you were wildcarding this week, who would you pick, Ronaldo or Lukaku?
If I was wildcarding this week, I would find a way of making Ronaldo, Lukaku, Salah and Trent in my wildcard team. And I've done it and it's very, very
possible. Should you go for all of them?
I'd absolutely go for all four. And yes, that means you might have 4.5 million defenders that start for you every week, or you might have a 5.8 Damari Gray starting for you every week. Well, that's fine. You can still create that squad with the Fab Four. I posted a draft on Twitter yesterday. Olivia Bazzaglo's actual wildcard team, who does the FPL stuff, she has all four. And I just reshared her post going, this shows you can do it. Can you do it if you don't have a wild card? Probably not, because it means a lot of your mid-price players, like your Torreses or possibly your Greenwoods or your Antonios, you can probably only have one of those three guys. So it's too much surgery. But definitely, if you're on a wild card, I'd go for all four, because look, Lukaku against Spurs, don't be fooled by the fixture ticker. That's a brilliant, brilliant fixture, the way Spurs are defending at the moment. And I just like it. I like the idea of being able to have both. I don't want to have to sell Ronaldo in game week 6 or 7. Many of us will do to get Lukaku. Have I now got an opportunity that's presenting itself? I've got 1.5 million in the bank. I've got Antonio, who I might need to sell. Can I find a way of getting Lukaku in this week on a 4-point hit? I mean, I can, but it means selling Greenwood or Torres, which I don't want to do. I can sell Torres down to a 4.7, 4.5, whatever, and bring Lukaku in for Antonio. But I just don't want to do that. So it's a real tough one.
It means you're kind of stuck up with four at the back, right? It means if you're doing that, I can't see a way of doing it and keeping Trent and not having, you know, White and Eiling or Livramento playing, you know, two of those three playing kind of every week. And I guess the tricky thing is, I mean, Lukaku is such a good captaincy option from game week 7. He's almost, you know, I can't see any reason to not captain him every week for those that good run of fixtures. Salah's a good captain's option for the next two.
Yeah.
I think personally I would pick one of Ronaldo or Lukaku now and look. Well, maybe not even
or swap
and
in
then
seven.
Swap. I you need Lukaku for game week 7. Like, that's just a complete given. Salah's not going anywhere. Trent's not going anywhere. The interesting thing is if Ronaldo gets a brace in the next two games as well, you're not going to want to sell him.
he's got in game week 7, you know, Everton at home. So really, it's still a good fixture. But yeah, I think I am with you. That's what I'll likely do. My plan is and has been always since bring Ronaldo in, make the obvious switch in game week 7 to Lukaku, go with one, and then it gives you the flexibility to have those nice mid-price assets that you might need to jump on, like a Torres or a Jota or a Greenwood. And as much as I would love to go with the heavy hitter approach and get the Fab Four in, and I do think if I was wildcarding, I'd have a go at it. But without the wildcard, selling Antonio for Lukaku on a 4-point hit this week, knowing it would mean selling Torres or a Greenwood, who could go and get me a haul, nice fixtures for both those guys, seems ridiculous. And I just simply won't be doing that.
The question is, because it basically comes down to, in kind of game week 7, it's Ronaldo and a 4.5 defender like Ben White versus something like Antonio and Shaw.
Yeah.
For example, or, you know, Calvert-Lewin if he's fit, or Shaw, something like that. Two decent options versus one good option and a bit of, oh my God, I wouldn't pick this guy normally. Like, you obviously get a lot more flexibility. And if you're not captaining the 12.5 million forward in any game going up to, like, game week 14, I guess that's when you have to think to yourself, is it really worth all of this investment in one player? It's a really interesting one. And it's why when Ronaldo signed, it was such a good signing for FPL, I think, because it's going to force people to make these decisions. And actually, Antonio getting injured is giving people even more choice, because now you've got some people holding him saying, well, there's no way I'm selling him. He's, you know, incredible. He's going to have Brentford and Leeds when he gets back. And you've got others saying, well, I want to move for Lukaku. I want to switch. It's, you know, I'm going to be wildcarding soon anyway. And, you know, I need to make sure I've got a full squad. So, yeah. So what do you reckon you're going to do with Antonio? Do you think you're going to keep him, or do you reckon you'll sell him if Bamford's fit? Presuming he is.
Yeah, the Bamford press conference I'll be keen for. That does tempt me, but I do already have Rafinha. I do have Eiling. So I've got double leads already. Do I want triple? Mm. I also don't have Benrahma like a lot of teams, right? So I think it might be easier to sell Antonio if you're sat on a Benrahma and you're thinking, I've already got West Ham cover up front or attack. Therefore, perhaps I can sell Antonio and still be left with a bit of cover for Antonio, because it could be Benrahma that's getting his assists moving forward. I don't have Benrahma, so maybe that makes me think, hey, I'm more likely to hold him. I am 50-50 at the moment. A lot comes down to European fixtures. Will Greenwood, Salah, Torres, you know, Ronaldo, these guys are all, you know, I've got Trent and Shaw all playing Champions League fixtures. Will they come out unscathed? The Antonio fixtures moving forward are still nice. Brentford and Leeds, I would like him for. The only one I'd sell him for is Bamford. I won't be selling him for DCL now. That was an option. And remember, I've got money in the bank, so I can go up to DCL. I can even go up to Gabriel Jesus, but I don't want the headache. I've already got Torres. That's enough of one.
Oh, God.
So yeah, it's not going to be Jimenez, because I own Traore. I definitely don't want double Wolves attack, despite thinking Jimenez is a good option if you don't have Traore. So for me, it will either be Bamford or no one. And if it's no one, then we can see my starting 11 still looks all right. And then loads will sell Antonio. I think more than 50% of FPL Twitter that own him will sell him. So I love the idea of going into Leeds, Brentford, then Everton, Tottenham for all right fixtures, possibly with him. He's also will have had his rest for the United game, because they do have European football and they are going to get a lot of fixtures. But he did show last season, and we forget. We all thought, oh, as soon as Antonio gets two fixtures a week, we've got to sell him. His hamstrings. That's the narrative from years ago. Antonio last season showed us, especially the second half last season, he can play Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Sunday, twice most weeks, because the Premier League fixtures, that's how they went. And he was playing, and Moyes wasn't feeling the need to bring him out. Yes, he does have historically lots of injury problems. Since he's been playing loads, those injuries have dipped. He's barely getting any. So yes, his hamstring might go once or twice throughout a season. He's out for a few weeks, but I think we can still rely on him moving forward. Having a rest this weekend is nice. I'm not too worried about the fixture congestion with him, because he showed us last season we can trust him.
I just don't think he's going to play that much, especially in the early stages of the Europa League. I think, you know, they can't lose
him. They've got a big squad now as well.
They've got a big squad. They've got very few strikers, though. And I think they've got to find ways of playing games without him. And I think, you know, you can't afford to rest him in the Premier League if they've got sort of aspirations of, I don't know, top six, maybe. They might be thinking they can get into that again. And I think, you know, if they get through to the later stage of the Europa, then I think, okay, we're going to see Antonio play those games, the bigger games. But I think Moyes is going to be confident of getting through sort of the early stages without him. We'll see how it goes. I mean, the problem with Benrahma, you mentioned him. I've got him in my team. Obviously, two blanks now since I bought him, which is typical after two 12-point returns. But the problem was we saw Vlasic come on.
Yeah.
And that is a concern with Benrahma, because
he was first sub, wasn't he? He was first sub, Benrahma. Yeah. Bowen stayed on for now. That's telling for me. So who does Moyes fancy out of those three?
Exactly. So I think it's going to be a bit like the Torres thing. I think if things aren't quite going West Ham's way, I think we're going to see Benrahma maybe one of the kind of early sacrifices for one of their other kind of attacking options, because they've got loads of them as well. So yeah, I'm getting a little bit twitchy with him. You mentioned Antonio's ownership. He's already gone down over 10%.
Wow.
Ownership.
Really?
You think the game week only ended yesterday, on Monday night. So he is shedding owners, and I think it's a combination of lots of factors. Obviously the red card, and Lukaku and Ronaldo hitting form, and people wanting to kind of jump on that. I think we're going to be seeing lots of wild cards this week as people restructure their teams. So it is interesting. I'm happy to hold him. I think with Leeds and Brentford on the horizon, they're two great games for him. The fixtures then get really tough. So Everton away, Tottenham at home, Villa away, Liverpool at home, Wolves away, City away. That is a tough run that does coincide with their Europa League campaign. So, I mean, I'm saying I don't think he's going to play too much in that, but at the same time, I'm not looking at those fixtures and thinking, oh, there's games that I'm going to get huge points hauls from. So it might be that I end up selling him around then, but certainly I'm keeping him kind of for the near future.
So yeah, it's that, if it wasn't Leeds and Brentford, and that too, Leeds is just not a fixture you want to sell him for. So I'm so on the fence. I guess Brentford, whilst we see that as a brilliant fixture on paper, defensive numbers have actually been really good, Brentford. Mm. They've actually been keeping really good back lines. So I'm with you. The fixtures aren't great beyond that. It's just that Leeds game. We've seen every time we watch Leeds this season, we just go, they're so open. And when you're playing against a striker like Antonio that really can bully defenders like Cooper, I'd love to see him in that game. I'd much rather own Antonio in that game than Bamford in that game.
Absolutely.
So it's a tough one.
Yep, I completely agree. So just a final question for you. Obviously, Chelsea, really good performance. 3-0 winners against Villa. Yeah. Rode their luck a bit at times. Loads of shots from Villa. Mendy just had an absolutely outstanding game, I thought. Brilliant. And Kovacic as well. I don't think I've ever seen him play like in the way he did. The assist was fantastic. Goal, great. Some really good performances. So we've got to start thinking about Chelsea leading up to Game Week 7. Obviously, Lukaku is a must. There were some interesting changes. Mount didn't play, for example. Who would you be looking at from the Chelsea side if you were thinking, you know, you're going to have people who are saying, oh, I can't go for Lukaku, so I want to get one of their other players, Havertz or Mount or someone like that, try and cover his points. Or you've got people saying, okay, in Game Week 7, I want to tap into the Chelsea attack as much as I can and get in their players. What's your kind of order of preference from the Chelsea boys?
Yeah, so obviously Lukaku's the standout. If you're looking at midfielders, it's neck and neck between Mount and Havertz. They will both play the majority of games, but equally, Tuchel is not afraid to rest players. Mount wasn't dropped against Villa; he was rested because of his he had a knock and because of his game time for England a few days before. But Havertz and Mount, I mean, Havertz is the more expensive option, but probably got the higher ceiling. Mount, the set piece threat and the chance creation's really, really impressive. Now he's got Lukaku in the team, will we see way more assists? So I like both those guys if you don't think you're going to be able to stretch to Lukaku. But then also, whoever is playing at wing back is going to get bags of assists. We just don't know about the rotation. Alonso's definitely first choice at the moment. That's very, very clear. So Rhys James is probably a safer bet, because at some point Chilwell will come in. Rhys James has got less competition.
Do you think he goes straight back in, Rhys James?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he had such a good start to the season. We saw I can't remember who he got the assist against. Was it, no, who was it against? Liverpool. For the Lukaku goal. Was it a Lukaku goal?
He got a goal and assist against Arsenal.
Oh, Arsenal, that was it. And he got an
assist from the corner, I believe, against Liverpool.
Yeah, that was it, for the Havertz header. So James would be my preference in the back line. If you haven't got that huge amount of money, Christensen is 5.0. Did get rested for Thiago Silva, but I still think he'll start the majority of games, although Rudiger and Azpilicueta are safer picks, but a little bit more expensive. But for the upside, I go James at the back, Havertz or Mount. I probably go Mount and save a little bit of money because I don't think there's much between them. And then obviously, I think we're all going to have Lukaku and have the armband on him, but it's exciting. There's barely any teams with Chelsea cover. By game week 7, all transfers in one way or another are going to be Chelsea, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'll definitely be rolling with James and Lukaku for their run. It's, I think I'd want to put in a midfielder as well. I was all set on Mount and then he didn't play. Do you think that's something we might see more of with Mount missing out? Or do you think that was just kind of gone the international break and just giving him a bit of a rest?
I think it was purely the rest. I he's one of the first names on Tuchel's team sheets. There's a few in that team when fit are absolutely nailed to play regardless of opposition or system. Azpilicueta, Mendy, Jorginho and Kante, if Kante's ever fit, Mount and Lukaku. They're the only ones you can bet your house on.
Not
enough. Oh, Rudiger, fair. Rudiger, of all the centre-backs, Rudiger and Azpilicueta are the only two. Mm. Yeah.
Because I mean, a lot of people went for Christensen, didn't they?
Yeah, that was always one where you knew you only went with him because he was 5.0.
Yeah.
You knew he was at more risk of rotation than a Rudiger or an Azpilicueta, but it's perhaps worth the gamble. I still think Christensen probably plays 6 or 7 out of every 10, but of course, Thiago Silva's someone that will get game time. Maybe Thiago Silva plays more in Champions Leagues. I don't know. Mm. That'll be one to monitor.
I'd be kicking myself if I went for Christensen. I think because I think I would have known that it was a gamble, and then for it to kind of this to happen straight away, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I should have seen that coming. And I know a few, like, you know, good managers that went for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's five million for a kind of a semi risk of rotation defender, I think is a little bit too much for
me. It's probably a bit naive going for Christensen as well. We were just blinded by the game week 1, 2, 3 scores. But let's not forget Thiago Silva was out injured. So you've got to consider that in the centre backs at Chelsea, there's three. Rudiger is always left centre back. Azpi is always right centre back when fit. The middle three is only ever Christensen or Thiago Silva. That's where these guys play when they play. Interestingly enough, for Denmark, he doesn't play in that position, Christensen. He's played midfield and he's played right-sided centre back, I think it is. So yeah, he can be more versatile, but Tuchel sees him as the middle, the pivot, the passer.
Yep. I can afford Reece James this week.
Can you?
I can do.
And he's at his rest now as well.
I know. My only concern is as he comes straight back in. But
I reckon he's, if we say Christensen's a 6 or 7 out of 10 every 10 games for starts, I'd say Reece James is an 8. But he's definitely not a 9 or a 10. Like Hudson-Odoi will still get a few games there.
Yeah, so the attacking potential is so great with him when he does start. Yeah,
I'd be very happy with 8 out of 10. I want James.
Yeah, it's just because at the moment, I mean, you look at your bench and look at my bench as well, and it's like I can't really absorb another with Antonio out and, you know, injuries around and stuff. I can't really afford I mean, I'm already playing Billy Gilmore this week, which is when you know you're getting desperate. Jani, that's great. I'll stop it there. You will be back next week, as always, to talk about how you got on in game week 5. And if you stick around after this, I will talk through my Fantasy 5 selection as well. But Jani, good luck this week, and I will speak to you soon.
Thank you, mate. And I will hopefully see you guys on Friday night, because we're doing a watch-along for Newcastle versus Leeds, which I think is going to be a very
absolutely
fun fixture.
Yeah, I'll be watching that as well. So that'll be great. Cheers, everyone, and see you soon. Hello again. I hope you enjoyed the video with Jani and I. I'm here on the Wednesday now, just doing the Fantasy 5 selection part of the video. No Jani to join me, but if you're interested in Fantasy 5, then hopefully you'll find this interesting. I'm just going to go through some of the picks and player points and stuff that you can consider when you're doing it. Again, as I mentioned at the start of the video, if you're interested in signing up to play alongside FPL, you can win £10,000 every week if you get all of your players correct who outscore their points targets. And there's also lots of other prizes as well for doing well. So definitely worth playing alongside the game. So the first game we've got is Liverpool v Palace. Obviously, Liverpool are massive favourites. So you've got the likes of Salah, who needs 13.5. Mane, who needs 11.5. Jota's there with 11.5 as well. So I'm kind of half tempted to go for a Palace player, which, you know, means that you need to get substantially less. So someone like Conor Gallagher, for example, is only 5.5. So he only needs a goal to get his points. So I'm going to pick him. There's some defenders as well who you could consider too. Let's go back to those quickly. So the likes of Robertson is 9.5, Trent's 9.5, Van Dijk's 8.5. These are all very high. But you could pick one of the Crystal Palace defenders. But realistically, are they going to get a clean sheet? I don't think so. So I think Gallagher's probably the one that we go for. Norwich v Watford, proper relegation battle this. Pukki's really high up there with 9.5. Dennis, who's likely going to start for Watford, is less with 6.5. We've got players like Cantwell, Dowell, Mashika, all quite high. Saar is actually 7.5. He's actually one of the better ones. So they're favouring Norwich in this game. And then pretty much all of the defenders are 6.5. So you need basically a clean sheet and an attacking return. I quite like Saar at 7.5. I think if Watford are going to have any chance in this game, they're going to need to get some points from him. So a goal and a clean sheet would do it. So I'm going to pick him. Aston Villa v Everton. Danny Ings is the favourite with 9.5. Obviously, Calvert-Lewin's out, so we can't pick him. Richarlison seems quite reasonably priced at 6.5. He'll be on pens, and he'll be playing kind of lone striker as well, you would imagine. Watkins as well had loads of shots against Chelsea, so I quite like him at 6.5. In midfield, no one's really speaking to me. Buendia's ever at 8.5. That's quite a lot. Doucouré at 6.5 is decent. Gray at 8.5. And then in defence, sort of everyone's coming in the 6.5 mark as well. So there's no sort of kind price defenders, I don't think, and the keepers are expensive as well. So my pick, I think, is going to be Richarlison. I'm going to go for him and hope for something good from him against Villa. West Ham v United. Ronaldo's the obvious one, 9.5. Still quite low for him. West Ham players price quite a lot. I mean, Declan Rice, Suchek, Benrahma, Bowen, Fornals, all 7.5. Sancho's 8.5, same as Greenwood. I'd definitely be picking Greenwood over Sancho. He's been really poor. Fernandes is there at 10.5, Rashford at 8.5. I mean, it's just got to be Ronaldo, isn't it? I mean, he could easily score two goals in that game, and you wouldn't be too surprised. So I'm going to pick him. And then Tottenham Chelsea. I mean, Harry Kane at 6.5. We just never see him. We never saw him at that like last season. It's really low. Compare that to Lukaku, who needs to get 10.5, which is obviously quite a lot. Skip Højbjerg, both at 5.5. Dele Alli's there at 7.5. Son's there at 7.5, which isn't too bad. So if Spurs nick a win, you know, he gets 5 for the goal, he'll get 2 for the clean sheet, 1 for the clean sheet and 2 for the appearance. So that's sort of fairly decent. Jorginho's there at 7.5. Havertz, Mount, 8.5. These guys need quite a lot. In defence, I mean, I like Reece James, but 9.5. Alonso as well, 9.5, and all the other defenders 6.5 or more. So this one's a really, really tough one to get right. I'm going to pick Son and hope he's fit. I think he can get 7.5 and confirm that. And that's it. So I've gone for Gallagher, Saar, team section confirmed. Gallagher, Saar, Richarlison, Ronaldo and Son. So yeah, give this a go if you haven't signed up already. Links in the description and best of luck.